The county council, their staff, and a couple of citizens spent more than an hour throwing questions at Michael Gebhardt, Tesoro's vice president of business development. Gebhardt said the pipe would carry 60,000 barrels a day, which has to be constantly warmed during its 40-hour trip to Salt Lake, or it solidifies. He said oil would be either black crude, which has to maintain a temperature above 95 degrees, or yellow crude, which must be above 115 degrees. The pipe would be 4 to 6 feet below ground and insulated with monitors or meters to signal trouble. He said if the flow of the oil was interrupted, there are two options to maintain the temperature.
First is heat trace. It's basically electrical on the outside of the pipeline. The pipeline's insulated. If flow stops and is perceived to be stopped for a while, we'll turn the switch on. It'll keep the waxy crude oil at a temperature where it remains liquefied. When we can start flowing again, the heat turns off, the pumps turn on, and the crude oil continues to move.
The other response would be a displacement plan. Cindy Gubler, Tesoro's communications consultant, told the council for that they would need to build above-ground tanks that would need county approval.
The other thing is if we built any of the tanks or valves above ground, we'd have to get a building permit, too.
Oh.
Do you anticipate having quite a few above-grade structures?
In the heat trace option, not a whole lot for a pipeline, you know, of this length. On the displacement option, that would be where if flow stopped, we would have tanks about four different places along the line. We clear the waxy crude into that. It would be heated, stay heated until continuous flow could resume.
So, how big would they be?
Pardon me? That'd be directionally 20,000 barrels probably, above ground tanks.
Oh.
Council member David Ure has said the pipeline will run through his ranch like the old Chevron alignment. He said about 30 years ago the Chevron pipe burst, so he asked about the PSI, that is pressure per square inch, on Tesoro's pipe.
When it blew on our property, I mean, it made quite a hole in the ground and shot in the air quite a while,
right?
Because it was 1,800 PSI. Do the federal requirements mandate how often you put check valves in there? And the reason is where it blew, we had two mountain ranges on each side. And so when it blew, oil drained from both directions. In my opinion, to be wise, at the bottom of these valleys, you ought to have a check valve there, so if you do blow one way or another, you're not going to be draining both mountainsides.
Absolutely. And so topography, elevation, sensitive areas,
right,
those will be the considerations that are used to determine where the check valves go or where the block valves
isolation
go.
Isolation valves.
That's right, the isolation valves and or check.
Council member Roger Armstrong asked specifically what Tesoro does about spills on land or into waterways.
The first step would be to contain, right? Second step would be to stop the leak immediately, and those are probably simultaneous steps. And then at that point, it would be an assessment to understand what is the situation and then what practices and techniques would be the right one to restore it to the condition it was in before that incident.
Armstrong said he's concerned about the proposed pipeline route going along the Weber River and by the Rockport Reservoir.
And I guess my concern about the Weber River is, it's almost what Dave described. You've got two downhill sections, I think, coming before that. So a leak along the Weber gravity is going to pull oil into both. You're going to have, will that necessitate more gates along that whole section? Valves, more valves along?
That is a design premise that is being reviewed, next level engineering of what needs to be in place and where. For those types of things, sensitive areas, water, you know, areas, and elevation and terrain type of considerations.
I would be highly in favor of you guys finding someplace other than the Weber River to run this thing.
Chris Robinson gave his assessment of what you will likely see from a spill of the waxy crude.
You put a hole in a pipe that's under 1,200 PSI, and it's got 115-120 degree Fahrenheit temperature. It's going to flow a lot of oil before it sets up. It's not going to be a thimbleful. It's going to, but when it does get in the atmosphere, especially if it gets any water, it's going to set up immediately. So it's a different animal than, as long as it's a waxy crude, than you've had with the Chevron pipeline flooding up there in Red Butte, you know, and going down to Sugar House Park and things like that, it'd still be bad. So your questions as to what the risks are, right on. I mean, it can happen. Best laid plans can go awry, and as this thing ages, lots of things could happen. But you could also have a truck wipe out. I mean, there's a lot of other trade-offs.
Council member Chris Robinson. For KPCW, I'm Rick Bruff.